KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Oh, hello. Well, I'm from the Temescal, where it's always sunny.
Southside Berkeley.
Santa Clara, California.
Coming up, how a Buddhist teacher brought more diversity to her meditation center in Oakland.
And I love that people come in and they see a rainbow flag, Black Lives Matter, and they see Kuan Yin statues.
Then we visit a place for women to heal and work it.
They would like control the parts of their bodies that needed to be free in order to twerk. So I was like, listen, you can't control the cheeks, you gotta free the cheeks.
And a Bay View about the challenges of being dual identity, techie and first gener.
Don't get me wrong, I like being a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I identify with being different from everybody else, and I wouldn't trade any of it.
Celebrating complexity today on Cross Currents. Stay tuned. When meditation teacher and author Spring Washam began her spiritual journey through Buddhism, she noticed there were few to no people of color at the retreats she went to. She wanted to bring mindfulness and the Dharma, or teachings of the Buddha, to more diverse communities. So she, along with other teachers, activists, and Buddhists, co-founded the East Bay Meditation Center. KALW's Janae Darden went to downtown Oakland to speak with Spring about the center and what led her to Buddhism.
Thank you, everybody.
Spring Washam taps a singing bowl to gently allow people to wrap up their first silent meditation of the day. She's leading a retreat at the East Bay Meditation Center and reminds people to take care of themselves.
I want you to feel like you can be comfortable, so if you need to move at any time, you can just stand up or go to...
People like Craig Raphael, who practice at EBMC, tell me they're comfortable here for another reason.
I love how diverse and welcoming that EBMC is.
EBMC Sangha, or community, is a blend of different genders, cultures, and classes. Look around. Rainbow flags are draped along the temple's walls. A photo of Martin Luther King shares the altar with a Buddha statue. And near it, a memorial table with a Black Lives Matter sign. This is a spiritual center and a social justice space. And that's evident by the talk Spring gives after the meditation is over.
Okay, you can try to deny me my rights over here. You can say that I'm inferior. You can try to manipulate economic systems. Right? You can use police to intimidate. You can do all these things, but what here? Like, I can know I'm free here.
Here is in the mind, and using the practice of mindfulness to stay centered and present, even when you're impacted by chaos. Spring Washam knows personally about trying to survive. She was born in Long Beach to a Black father and a white mother in 1973, when interracial relationships were less accepted, and spent much of her childhood in Southern California living in rough neighborhoods. Her parents were poor. She says their marriage was rocky, and her father struggled with drug addiction and left the family. Then her mother brought violent boyfriends to their home.
So I had to move out due to my mother's relationship when I was about 15, and I started living on my own. So I was on my own in Los Angeles. And all the drama that happens when you're alone and you don't have a lot of wisdom.
Drama, like enduring more violence and selling marijuana to pay the bills and rent.
You know, when I got to be in my late teens, I sort of had a breakdown and got very depressed for a long period of time. I would just cry all the time, and I wanted to heal.
Several years later, Spring moved to East Oakland. She was out of a job and in a bad relationship. She tried learning meditation at a Hindu temple in Richmond.
I would go to 3-hour meditations and just sit there, and they would say, love God. And I was like, I'm trying to love God, but my mind is crazy. And I don't even think I'm meditating right. I would just think about all my problems. So by happenstance, someone told me about a 10-day retreat, and they teach you how to meditate.
Spring drove to Southern California for the retreat. She says the teachings were life-changing.
When they were saying, just be in the present moment, follow your breath, it was like this loud, insane TV channel was turned off. And then I was like, oh, you know, and I felt this peace. And it sounds so simple. Pause, press the pause button. I was actually able to do that over the 10 days. And it led to just so much profound feelings of peace and understanding and letting go.
It's hard for people to stop.
Oh, I mean, we're crazy. We're running around. We have our phones. We have our computers. We have everything. And everybody's going so fast. And it just seems like it's speeding up more. It's a radical act to press the pause button and just be. But learning how to do that is essential if you want some kind of inner peace.
As she began to immerse herself more in the Buddhist faith and travel to retreats, she realized how often she stood out.
Everybody was in their 70s, and I was the only woman of color. I was the youngest person, only woman of color, and it became disheartening. You know, you want to feel included, and I didn't feel like I fit there. And also when you're doing meditation practices, any kind of healing work, those layers of oppression and suffering start to come up. The sadness of my father's life, my ancestors, my own life, the feelings of that. And so that did lead me want to create a community in downtown Oakland for everybody, but I was really focused then on communities of color.
After the talk, everyone breaks out into groups to discuss the retreat's theme, joy. People are sitting in small circles, barefoot or with socks on. Some are holding journals with notes from spring's talk. They're chatting away about simple things that give them joy, like playing an instrument with friends and having organic produce delivered to their home.
The broccoli and the lettuce.
People come from around the country and abroad to EBMC because of its diversity and social justice programs. And some visiting teachers say it's one of the most diverse Buddhist centers they've been to in the world.
Yeah, that's been said many times about us. And I think that that is the new wave here, is this movement toward including everybody. Inclusivity is the word.
But why is inclusivity a new wave in Buddhism here in the West, especially since the Buddha was from India? Chinese immigrants brought Buddhism to North America back in the 1840s when settling on the west coast of the United States. North Americans and Europeans traveling to Asia brought back Buddhist literature and text. In the 1890s, Asian Buddhist leaders began lecturing here. Then in the 1950s and 60s, during the eras of the Beats and hippies, younger white people saw Buddhism as a spiritual practice without the rigid expectations of some religions. They became deeply interested in Asian cultures, and by the 70s, some became teachers.
Some of the early teachers who brought this kind of Western Buddhist philosophy, and they brought it here, and it was seen as exotic and a little exclusive, and they didn't have a multicultural lens.
So Western Buddhist spaces became largely white, and many still are, but things are changing. A few meditation centers focused on diversity have formed in other parts of the country, and some communities are including more multicultural programming and teachers. EBMC even has a white and awakening sangha for members to learn about their racial privilege. Michelle Williams is African American and lives in Oakland. She's volunteered with EBMC since it opened 12 years ago. The location is convenient because she doesn't have to travel to remote places for retreats. And affordability is another major draw.
So you don't pay to come to workshops. You can just come and then you make a donation if you're able and willing to do that. So that's what's different than some of the other centers. You have to pay quite a bit of money for some other places.
Quite a bit can be hundreds to thousands of dollars. But the center was founded on the principle of dana, which is Sanskrit for generosity. The day-long retreat has come to a close and turned into a going-away potluck. Spring is leaving to write another book and travel. Jen Bean is on the center's leadership board, and she's pretty comfortable about what's next.
What's beautiful is that EBMC kind of flows with the river, you know. Teachers come and go, and a lot of the founding teachers come back and teach periodically as well.
And Spring Washam isn't gone for good. She says she'll still visit the East Bay Meditation Center to help with big events. In downtown Oakland, I'm Janae Darton for Cross Currents.
Spring Washam's book is called A Fierce Heart, Finding Strength, Love, and Wisdom in Any Moment. Find more information about it at klw.org. Click Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. The Me Too movement continues to bring attention to sexual harassment and assault. And while some people seek out quiet places to reflect and heal, many women have found a different kind of safe place to feel empowered, a place to process, relax, let go, and just have a good time. KALW's Aaliyah Renee Yates found that magical place in the Groove Studios in downtown Oakland.
When you walk into a dance class, what do you expect? Leotards, straight lines, maybe some ballet shoes. Well, this class is different. There's an altar by the door, decked out with brightly colored scarves, incense, and a West African fertility statue. I see a circle of women in the middle of the room, most of them wearing booty shorts and knee pads, and the smell of sage is in the air.
Okay, so we're gonna go around, we're gonna do names, signs, and I wanna know, how do you guys practice healing or like empowering yourself? Can we do that?
That's Brianna Powell, but everyone calls her Breezy. She teaches the class with her sister.
Hi, y'all, and I'm an Aquarius Pisces cuss.
I'm a Scorpio.
My moon is a Libra.
Self-care, I give myself a yoni steam.
Lately, I've been reading and knitting a lot.
Weed, number one. Sisterhood, number two.
Drink wine and masturbate.
Pretty quickly, this room full of mostly strangers feels more like a family gathering. You almost forget that this is a dance studio. But these women came to dance. To be specific, they came to twerk. Welcome to Free the Cheeks. I want a slim five woman with some twerk with her. You heard me, I said twerk. I'm talking bag pops, pee pops, walking the dog, slow whines, fast whines, all in all, shaking that ass. So how did this class come to be?
The idea started originally from Breezy.
That's Bobby Knowles, co-founder and Breezy's sister.
We were both teaching at a dance studio in downtown Oakland, and Breezy ended up teaching a twerk class there.
And it was very fitness-based. And it was like only an hour, and then the class was very like superficial and surface level.
They wanted to add more elements to the class that would make it more meaningful. A place not just for dance, but a space where people could talk and vent, something specifically for women of color.
Because a lot of times I think we just kind of go through the world and we're not really heard, and a lot of stuff deal with on our own. I think a big part of it is really just giving people space to feel safe in sharing that.
So Breezy quit that fitness gig and found space to rent it in the Groove Studios. Bobby followed soon after, and now, almost 3 years later, they teach a two-hour class every Saturday. And the name of the new class? It was inspired by Breezy's students from her old class.
It was like after people got off of work, they would like control the parts of their bodies that needed to be free in order to twerk. So I was like, listen, you can't control the cheeks, you gotta free the cheeks.
And just like that, they had a name, Free the Cheeks. Twerk Church.
From there, you drop the chest down, those hands go out, bust it open, baby. Come on up the legs. Rub on that ass, okay? Push back, head comes around, two, three, four, to crawl again, okay? For four. Nice booty, Crystal.
Crystal Williams has been freeing her cheeks for almost 2 years. That makes her what Breezy and Bobby like to call a vintage booty.
I found out actually from Breezy and Bobby's mom, Tawn. We were in this group together and she was like, you should come take my daughter's twerk class. I keep coming because we've built a sisterhood. It's therapeutic for me and I get to express myself in ways that I don't typically get to express myself. I was raised to temper myself, not speak up all the time. I get to do that here.
Breezy and Bobby recognize that this is the reality for a lot of the women in the class. That whether they're shaking their ass or not, women's sexuality is constantly being policed.
We've been told, like, that you shouldn't shake that or move that or embrace that part of yourself. Like, we've been told, like, that's nasty.
And that's why they made this space for women and women only.
the classes specifically for women, because we haven't felt like we could express our sensuality. You know, we've been violated before, you know, other women included have been raped, stalked. It's to come together and celebrate that we are not our trauma and we can still find beauty in parts of us that we were told were ugly or like disgusting or filthy.
But because the world ain't necessarily ready for all this, they've had to hire a security guard to keep the space from being disturbed and to tell the looky-loos to keep it pushing. Now, this class could be a lot, especially if you were just coming here to shake a little something. I wonder what the new booties think of all this.
Yes, it is my first time here.
That's Amber Ellis. And unlike Crystal, she heard about the class by literally hearing the class.
Yeah, I used to work just next door to here, and I heard the music, and it's just like, it's popping, it's lit. I gotta go, you know? I always saw like a lot of Black women coming out of the space, and that really attracted me too, because I feel like in the Bay Area, it's easy to get like isolated.
After that, it's that pop that I do, the breezy pop. You popping back, hold it, sit. Wop, 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 wop. Those are oscillations. Okay, come on, y'all.
The class tends to go over time. It's already been going on for 2 hours and 30 minutes. But it isn't over yet. As an ongoing tradition, the class ends the same way it begins, in a circle.
We end with a twerk circle to kind of close off the energy and get you guys set to be out the door. Everybody's gonna get a turn to go. You're gonna freestyle, do whatever you want in the circle. This is your dance. Receptive, being open, and leaving it.
Before the ladies leave, the sisters lead them in one final chant.
All right, y'all. Power. 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 Power.
As I'm packing up, I notice that most women stay to go over moves and share information on potential jobs or just where they got their nails done. I see a lot of bonds being formed. These women need a space like this. Hell, I need a space like this. I say my goodbyes and take one last deep breath of sage-filled air. It's time to head back into the world. But don't worry, Breezy and Bobby. I'll see you next Saturday. In Oakland, I'm Aaliyah Renee Yates for Cross Currents.
Aaliyah is a fellow in our Audio Academy training program. A lot of journalists have come through our training programs here at KLW. And if you want to be one of them, well, you're in luck. We're accepting applications through Friday for our summer journalism training program. Find all the information on the front page of KALW.org and apply. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hena Baba. And we're ending today's show with a Bay View, a new segment where we ask someone to go deep and think about an aspect of their Bay Area life that touches on a bigger issue. Today, we're going to hear from Jimena Vengoechea. She's 33. She lives in San Francisco and works for a big tech company in Silicon Valley. She's also a first-generation American. Jimena moved to the Bay Area a few years ago, and she's had a hard time finding her place here. In today's Bay View, she talks about what it's like to be a first-gener working in tech in San Francisco.
Growing up, I used to hear Spanish every day. My father, who had moved from Colombia to the States as a child, switched back and forth between English and Spanish, peppering his speech with both. My mother, who immigrated to New York from Argentina as an adult, spoke to my sisters and me exclusively in Spanish. We were four girls, and I hate to admit that we often answered her in English. I left New York 5 years ago for San Francisco. I had no job, just a firm belief that this is where I needed to be. In my mind, San Francisco was my shot to break into big tech. I had worked for a few startups in New York, but when a company stays small, you can only learn so much. I wanted to be where the action is. It didn't matter that I didn't have any interviews lined up, or that my initial sublet would only last 2 weeks. something in me was stubbornly certain that it would all work out. And in fact, San Francisco has been generous to me. It has given me a career, a husband, a rescue dog named Moose. I have enjoyed its always fresh produce, its wacky obsession with technology, and its fervor for protecting the environment. But I would be lying if I said it's been easy. Since moving here, I have felt less and less connected to my South American roots and heritage. I've even begun to feel monolingual. It may sound crazy, but in a region with more than 500,000 Spanish speakers, I still miss hearing the language. It's not part of my workday or my life at home. These days, I hear it mostly on the bus, in passing. Sometimes I get a Lyft driver who takes a guess that my name, Jimena, means I speak Spanish. I get to slip into a second skin during these conversations and dip into the colloquialisms I grew up with. These moments are nothing short of bittersweet, a touch of home and sadness to know that this is the most Spanish I've spoken all week. I'm even losing my vocabulary, getting rusty in my castellano. My office does have a group called Todos to help Latino employees connect. In some ways, this should be my answer, a way to get in touch with my heritage. They host events and social mixers and bring in speakers. I'm grateful that there's a space for Latinos to connect and celebrate their culture. That hasn't been true of every company I've worked for. But I have to confess, I haven't actually made it to any of their events or joined any other Latinx groups in the city, mostly because I can't help feeling a little like a fraud, like I'm not Latina enough. Yes, my first language was Spanish. And yes, my house was filled with the songs of Mercedes Sosa and the scent of Parrilladas. But we also listened to Jefferson Airplane and the Beatles and ate a lot of Italian food. I don't even sound like a native Spanish speaker anymore. Too much of my American upbringing has filtered in and tainted whatever pristine accent I had as a child. Working in tech only complicates matters. When I first moved to San Francisco, I lived in the Mission. I loved its diversity, its unfussy restaurants. I could make small talk in Spanish at my neighborhood market while picking up produce and impossibly inexpensive strawberries. At a certain point, I remember the inventory began to change. The $4 yogurt with a colorful Spanish label was replaced with $9 Wallabies Australian-style yogurt. Suddenly, there was a lot more kale. I remember thinking, this sucks. I also thought, and here's where it gets challenging, I am part of the problem. I am one of the roughly 300,000 highly skilled, well-paid tech workers in the Bay Area. Our presence, my presence, is definitely driving up rent. It's definitely making the restaurant seem both more expensive and boring. It's making our roads more crowded and our neighborhoods less diverse. In some small way, my presence has contributed to the resegregation of neighborhoods in the Bay and pushed minority families out. At the same time, I'm glad to be working in tech, not just for myself, but on behalf of people like me. People who grew up speaking more than one language. People who will never understand certain American traditions, like Super Bowl ads. People who might not think there's a place for them in tech. There are a lot of Latinos in the Bay Area, but there are not that many Latinos working in technology. And I want that to change. I want more of us, Latinos, first-geners, immigrants, to reap some of the benefits of the tech boom, not just the drawbacks. And to be clear, we also need to play a role in fixing what tech is destroying. Our voices should be part of the conversation, not just in protest, but also from the inside. We need to advocate for more diverse representation in our imagery, our messaging, and the products we build. We need to talk more about the unintended consequences of tech innovation on minority communities. I want to be one of many voices invested in these topics, and not one of a few speaking on behalf of many. And personally, I want other first-geners in tech to feel supported, to find role models in others like them, people who share a similar heritage and a passion for technology. I recognize that it's partly on me. I know that I should put myself out there,
get over that sinking feeling of being an outsider. I should take the plunge, join a community group, participate, even if it's scary. But maybe change and belonging isn't about joining a group. Maybe it's about being louder. Maybe I need to bring my whole self to work, more than I am today. Talk about my heritage, even if no one is asking. Maybe I need to make myself known so that I can be a role model for others. And bit by bit, do what I can so that people like me know they are not alone.
That Bay View came to us from Jimena Bengoechea. And we want to hear from you. Have you got a Bay View you'd like to share? Write up an essay with your personal take on some aspect of Bay Area life. It can be anything, housing, transportation, identity, or anything else. Then send it to bayviews@klw.org. And don't forget to include your name and phone number. This music is by Casa de Flores from San Francisco. They're performing at the New Parish in Oakland tomorrow night as part of the Noise Pop Festival. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. Is there nothing I can do to make you love me?